Blog Talk Radio.
Real Sports Talk Radio starts live just in a minute. First, I want to remind everybody about BackSportsPage.com and all the locations where you can listen to our radio show / podcast. If you want to hear past episodes of Seth and Sean, Beyond the Bench, Under the Hoodies, Real Sports Talk Radio, From the Touchline, 90 Minutes, our soccer program, you can go to iTunes or blogtalkradio.com. That's right. You can hear all the Back Sports Page podcasts on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com. And, of course, you can go to backsportspage.com. So check out all of those locations to find all past episodes of Back Sports Page podcasts. Right now, you're getting ready to listen to Real Sports Talk Radio, hosted by me, the one and only Randy Zelia, the King of the Swamp out here in New Jersey. I hope that's not my new nickname. Check it out. Right now, Real Sports Talk Radio is here. All right, good afternoon, good evening all here at 7 o'clock Eastern Time on March 18th, 2015. That's right, we're in the halfway mark of the month of March here. Real Sports Talk Radio, courtesy of BackSportsPage.com, on the air. Thanks for giving us a listen live or downloading us at either iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or at BackSportsPage.com. Hope everyone's having a great week. Lots of different sports news going on. Plus, I have a one-on-one interview that I did a couple weeks back with Ray Lucas, who former Rutgers quarterback, Jets quarterback, and also played with the Miami Dolphins. One of Bill Parcells' top guys for many years. Hope you guys enjoy the interview. He's discussing his new book, and we're also looking back at his career. Solid 20-minute interview. I promise you guys will like it. Real quick, I want to dive into a couple different topics here. NFL free agency has been crazy. The amount of cuts and signings have been off the hook. A friend of our show, Chris Canty, has re-signed with the Baltimore Ravens. Hopefully we'll have him up on in the up and coming next few weeks. Greg Hardy, of course, signing with the Cowboys, which is a little bit of a surprise there. And there's other news that broke earlier today from the Baltimore Ravens that they cut their running back. Since he got arrested, they really just want to stay out of all legal parameters. Bernard Pierce cut earlier today by the Baltimore Ravens. It's going to be interesting to see where some of these guys who have not been signed yet go. You know, Reggie Bush, as of last week, was not signed with San Francisco this week. Interested to see if Ray Rice is going to get an opportunity. And if the Eagles decide to cut or trade Matt Barkley, they're going to try and bring in Tim Tebow. Apparently, he pressed them enough to possibly earn a roster spot. Now, would you bring somebody in, though, who hasn't played, who is not even in the league the last two seasons? That really brings up a question. Now, I'm one of the firm believers that Tim Tebow deserves another opportunity in the NFL. The Jets did him wrong. Didn't have an opportunity, really, with the Patriots. But the Jets did him wrong after winning a playoff game against Pittsburgh a couple seasons back while in Denver. He played great. I think he deserves the opportunity. So I do think he deserves it. So there's lots of things going on in the NFL. Other news that broke today, you know, NCAA tournament coming up this upcoming week. I'm going to be posting on our Facebook page, Real Sports Talk Radio Facebook page, copies of my bracket so you guys can follow what I'm doing. See how wrong I am. Every time I make a prediction, go the other way. I'm the guy who you can predict everything will go wrong with. So check that out. That'll be up on the Real Sports Talk Radio Facebook page. So you can definitely check that out. But then other news from college basketball today, Jim Boeheim is retiring from Syracuse. And it's not like it's at the end of the season. He says he's retiring in 3 years. Okay. why are we deciding this now? It doesn't really make much sense, but sure, we can definitely talk about that with the year they've had and the suspensions and the self-imposed bans to the regular bans. Syracuse really not having the best years at this point in time. I'll tell you, if Kentucky wins the tournament this year, it would be awesome to see in this day and age a perfect season. But then it goes to how many of his guys are going to the NBA. If you want to join in on any of the conversations, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846, you can join in with me and discuss some of these topics. I just, again, I'm not sure Kentucky can go all the way. I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'm not sure if I also buy into the Calipari system. I've been against the Calipari system for years and years and years and years. I've been fighting with people about raising the age limit to 21, 22 years old for the simple reasoning of your college is job training. And when you're playing professional football, playing professional basketball, that's a job. So if it's your job, you have to be trained right. It's not fair to ask these coaches in the NBA to teach these kids how to play the game because they decide they want to go play pro at 19. At 19 years old, you're not going to be able to become an accountant. You're not going to be able to become a police officer. You're not going to be able to go and do some of these other jobs at that age. You have to go through the proper training, the proper education. You're not going to become a doctor at the age of 19. You have to go through it all, unless you're Doogie Howser. And Doogie was a very special case. And just in case you didn't know, Doogie Howser's fictional. So for those listening who don't know who Doogie Howser is, please. So with that being said, you know, I think it's the landscape of college basketball has to change because it needs to improve the NBA play style ball. It has to start with the kids staying in school and getting a good education of the game of basketball. And it's missing now. It really is missing now. That's where I'm at. As far as NBA news is concerned, look, we're now getting to the final points at the end of the year. I'm not a fan of the fact that there's been stars who have been sitting out all pretty much a good portion of the season. Look, if you're in Oklahoma City, you're a fan there, buy Westbrook jerseys. Don't buy Durant jerseys. Because the simple fact is Durant's been sitting home. I think he could have been back already. I think they're just resting him. I think they want to get him three solid weeks of playing time going into the playoffs, and then he'd be ready to go. You're in Chicago. You're waiting for Taj Gibson. You're waiting for Jimmy Butler. You're waiting for Derrick Rose to come back to see if they can be at full health and make a run. Make a run at the Eastern Conference Championship. And when you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, it's simple. It's Cleveland. It's Atlanta. And then you sort of fill the areas everybody else. It could be between Atlanta, Chicago, and Cleveland. That'd be very, very interesting. You know, Cleveland can't win in Miami. So if I'm them, I'm hoping they don't have to play Miami in the first round of the playoffs. You know, there's no reason why if you're a one or a two seed, that the playoff series don't go at most five games. Could be sweeps for Atlanta, Cleveland. I'm going to pull up the standings right now just to see where everybody is. I haven't checked in the last couple of days. Yes. Okay. So, you know, we look at this and it keeps changing every day, the bottom part of the conference. Right now, Brooklyn has pretty much found a way to get out of they have played themselves out of the race. Indiana has played themselves in the race. There is a three-way tie right now for seventh between Indiana, Miami, and Boston. Charlotte is a game out of the seventh seed. And Brooklyn is 2.5 out of the playoffs right now. So Brooklyn, the team that needs to make the playoffs, it doesn't look like they're going to make it in. Atlanta 1, Cleveland 2, Toronto 3, Chicago 4, Washington 5, Milwaukee 6, Indy 7, Miami 8. Everything outside of Milwaukee is, you know, up in the air. Milwaukee's lost the last three, only a game over 500. Washington has won their last four, but they're a half a game behind Chicago for the fourth spot. It's going to be really, 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 really interesting to see how the East plays out. On the West, man, can it get more tight than this? New Orleans and OKC tie for that final spot in the Western Conference. Tie goes to New Orleans. San Antonio, 7th seed. Dallas, 6. Clippers are 5. Clippers and Dallas actually tied for the 5th seed. Clippers get the tiebreaker. They're both 11 back of the top spot. San Antonio's 12 back. So San Antonio's a game out of 5th and 3.5 out of 3rd. So if you're a San Antonio Spurs fan, you're right there. You can't complain about that. Dallas is starting to play well. They've won the last two. Blake Griffin is now back for the Clippers. Let's see what they can do at full health. Dwight Howard is going to be back soon for the Houston Rockets. Right now, the Portland Trailblazers and the Rockets are tied for 3rd. And they're a game and a half out of the 2nd spot, where Memphis has seemed to struggle a little bit as of late. Memphis holding on to the number 2 seed, and then there's the Golden State Warriors with the best record in the NBA, 53-13. Phoenix Suns out of the playoff race. Interesting to see how it goes the rest of the way here in the NBA. Major League Baseball is off and running with spring training. We didn't get to talk about it last week. Yankees are ignoring that A-Rod even exists, which is so stupid. You know, he's a member of your organization. He's on the hook. You have him on the hook for $61 million. If you're not gonna, if you want to write a check just to get rid of him, to get rid of him, A-Rod's not gonna get another job in Major League Baseball. He's done. You don't have much offense if you're the Yankees, so give him the opportunity. Why not? What is wrong with giving A-Rod a shot here? What is the worst that can happen if you give A-Rod a shot in playing? He's having a nice spring training, but to totally ignore the fact that he hit home runs and is actually playing well, and totally ignoring the home run he had during spring training is absolutely ridiculous, absolutely asinine. The Yankees should be ashamed of themselves. They should step up to the plate and not do that. I think they should really just acknowledge the fact that he's here, he's playing, he's actually playing well, and hopefully he can get it together. You know, I hope for A-Rod, it'll be a good story for him to actually get together after all the havoc he's caused and all the chaos he's caused. It'd be great to see him get the opportunity to play again and actually have success. So hopefully he will this year. And not that I'm a very big supporter of someone getting, seeing someone who's cheated get success, but he's basically, I want to see him, I just think it would be a great story in New York, because I don't think the Yankees are making the playoffs. Jose, who's been on this show here before, just like me, has says, things happen in waves. I think that eventually things go around for the teams, and eventually younger talent will start developing. You have great teams in the AL that are just better than the Yankees right now. The Yankees don't know what their starting pitching is a question mark. They don't have a lot of hitting. So how are you competing for a World Series? So please explain that to me. So that's just my take with the Yankees. I'm just a huge mark for the NBA through this time of year. So I don't really pay much attention to baseball until we get into the dog days of summer, and we have some time before that. So opening day will be in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to check out everything that's going to happen between now and then, and all the football news, the draft news. We have some different people coming up, and will be joining us too. So a lot of different things happening. Of course, NFL free agency, NCAA tournament, NBA playoffs. It's a great time of year. Spring is finally here. I love it. And then we have, during the fall, of course, we have every sport. When September, October comes around, you'll have NBA again starting, NHL again started. Or I'm sorry, NBA and NFL. And sorry, NBA and NHL getting ready to start their season. NFL in full swing and baseball wrapping up. So I think it's a great thing. I love that time of year. So right now, Real Sports Talk Radio is on the air, and let me tell you, it is up brought to you by our friends over at 1-800-Flowers. Get your special someone that special gift that they would deserve. They have great gifts for birthdays, anniversaries. If you had a passing of a loved one, they'll be able to take care of you too on that. And they also have gifts just because. So go to 1-800-Flowers.com, put in the promotional code BACKSPORTS, and you'll get a little bit of a discount. And so go in there, promotional code BACKSPORTS, for a nice little something for everybody, a little something for mom, a little something for dad, a little something for grandma, a little something for everybody at 1-800-Flowers.com. Check it out. I promise you guys will be okay and be happy with it. Exclusively here for BackSportsBench.com. Also, don't forget, tomorrow night I'm not on air. That's why I'm here today. Friday, Todd Strauber and the rest of the crew talking soccer from the touchline in 90 minutes. Monday, Seth and Sean Sports on the air. It's two guys from New York just talking sports. Just talking sports. I love it. It's good stuff. Now, here's a kicker. Last week, we had our good friend Jason Sensation on. Apparently, he was very serious about a challenge to Mr. McMahon. If you want to listen to that audio, we'll have that on the Facebook page as well. You can check that out, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. The other piece of news that I found this week very interesting came from Eagles camp. They worked out Tim Tebow. I want people to listen to this show, and I would like them to let me know if they feel that Tim Tebow deserves another shot in the NFL. I feel he does. There's others who don't. I feel he does. If you do, feel free, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. I hope that you guys could agree with me, and I don't think he does. I'm sorry, I think Tim Tebow does. I don't think Mark Sanchez is really – he had his opportunity in Philadelphia to do it, and he failed. So I feel bad because isn't it funny that Mark Sanchez can't get rid of Tim Tebow right now? That's the part that I think is hysterical. He just can't get rid of this guy. He keeps following no matter where he goes, no matter where he goes. There's Tim Tebow. So let me know if you feel that way. I've been a little weirded out whether Tim Tebow deserves another shot of being here or being in the NFL. You have to give him the opportunity. I think he deserves the opportunity. I think it'll be great if he can. I think it'll be a wonderful story if he can go there and have success. But I don't know if the NFL, I think ESPN doesn't want him there. That's what I think. I think that the NFL would love to see him go away and no longer exist. That's what I think is the sad truth of that. I just don't think – I think if he was able to go away, I think that would be the best thing in the world for the NFL. So that's just my opinion on that. We'll see if anybody else wants to join in and discuss that topic with me, whether Tebow deserves another shot in the NFL. Also, you know, some of the other free agent moves – the Giants are slowly having a very, very, very good NFL offseason, which no one seems to want to talk about. Everyone's talking about the New York Jets, as they should. Jets are making some wonderful moves. Brandon Marshall, what a pickup he's going to be. I love the pickups and the plays of Darrell Revis and Kamari and some of the other guys that they're bringing in right now. You know what, let's bring someone who knows a little bit more about football than I do. I'll openly admit that. Let's bring in Jose Padilla. Jose, how are you today, my friend?
I'm okay. What's going on? Why are you waking me up from my slumber?
I'm waking, well, because I need your anger. I need your hate. And I think you've been waiting your whole life for someone to say that to you. But I need your hate. I need you to convince me on why Tim Tebow doesn't deserve another shot in the NFL.
Why Tim Tebow doesn't deserve another shot?
Yeah.
Listen, I've already said this to you privately and on the show. I've said it to you many a time. Unless the coach is willing to change his whole system to fit what Tim Tebow does, it's never going to work. Ironically, he had a tryout with Chip Kelly the other day. I actually think that's the kind of system that Tim Tebow would actually thrive in. And you know me, I've always liked Tim Tebow. I've never had an issue with him. I always thought he kind of got screwed over in the whole Denver situation, even though obviously they brought in Peyton Manning, but still, the guy won a playoff game for you, and you're paying him by basically just getting rid of him the first chance you could. So, listen, I have a lot of respect for Tim Tebow. I think what he does is great. I think one day the guy's probably going to be the president of the United States or some sort of responsibility where people like just do whatever he wants. But unless he's going to be playing in that Chip Kelly system, there's just no way he's ever going to have a starting job in the NFL as a quarterback.
Okay, listen, I figured I'd at least ask you because, like, in my opinion, the Jets destroyed him. The Jets destroyed him, and he deserves to have that opportunity to at least earn a job somewhere. They brought him over to New England, and that was not a good fit for him. But Belichick has a way of taking guys and getting something out of them that they probably wouldn't know that it can even do. So,
I think I would say this. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick literally brought him in just to like break the Jets. I mean, but let's be honest. No one really still knows who is actually responsible for bringing in Tebow to the Jets to begin with. I mean, for the longest time, we heard it was an ownership decision, and then all of a sudden, Tannenbaum took the bullet for that. So no one really knows, and I'm sure if we put dollars to donut, I'm sure we can find out that it was Woody Johnson all along, and you know, Rex Ryan just kind of put him out there just to put him out there. I'm sure he didn't want him, and I'm sure he didn't even know how to use him.
Well, here's the thing, too, which, again, with the Jets, not to, you know, rehash the past and some tough situations with the Jets, but, look, they had a press conference where no team officials were there to welcome Tim Tebow. It was just, we're going to have a press conference, and he's there, and that's it.
I'm surprised you're actually talking about Tebow, so it must be a slow day. I would say this. Since Tebow takes a lot of crap from a lot of people in sports media over stuff that he really has no control over, doesn't really do anything for. He gets crap for being, you know, the religious person that he is, yet he never really puts it out there other than when people actually want to hear about it. But, you know, he does these, you know, other than saying, you know, God bless you or everything like that when he's in this, his little monologue that he has, or his, like, little, you know, talks. You know, he's never done anything that's, like, so, like, religious, like, cringy, like, you know, how some people do get. But that's the kind of thing where, like, he gets a lot of crap, and honestly, I don't know why. And it's just people just needing to hate for whatever reason. And again, I've always told you, I have a lot of respect for the guy. But, you know, I know, unless, again, if he was to be in an offense like Chip Kelly, it's just, he's never going to get a starting job anywhere else.
Right, and for them to do it, they'd have to trade Matt Barkley. Now, if you're the Eagles, do you try and trade or waive Matt Barkley to get this, to make this happen, or do you stick with a guy like Barkley? Because, look, not for nothing, the Eagles, if you have Bradford, who, is a hit or miss on whether he's even going to be healthy for this team. Then you have Sanchez. So, you know, you have Ace players and they're saying, do you want to go with Matt Barkley or do you want to go with Tim Tebow? But because there's a good chance one of those two can play in that situation.
Well, none of those guys fit that system anyway. That's part of the problem. I mean, I still don't believe that Chip Kelly is completely done with not trying to get Mariota. I'm, you know, from the way things look anyway, I mean, I don't know, it's still way too early before the draft starts, but let's be honest, there's still a high chance that Mariota can somehow end up on Philadelphia, depending on where they have to trade him to get him, because it's, every other day, you see Mariota is dropping on these draft boards. So, you know, it's still a possibility. I still think it's best to take him at 6, personally. You know, you want to build something there, especially because no one believes in Geno Smith. But, you know, as far as, like, the whole Matt Barkley thing, I think if Barkley got a chance somewhere, I actually think he would be a good starting quarterback. I think you already know what you got with Sanchez. I don't believe in Sam Bradford. I know he was number one pick, like, 5 years ago, but I don't believe in the guy. So, if I was Philadelphia, you know, I'd probably just keep Barkley because I think he's actually going to be a good quarterback. He's just not going to be a good quarterback in that system.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where this all goes. Well, I guess we'll know in 2 or 3 weeks with everything that's going on in between the draft and the remainder of free agency. Three quick questions as far as the NFL, then I have an NBA question for you. Real quick, does Ray Rice get a job at this point?
I'm sure someone will give him a job. You know, listen, Greg Hardy is going to get a job today. I'm sure he'll get a job. You know, as long as he shows that he can perform. I mean, that's the end all be all. If he still has something in the tank, he'll get a job.
Okay, no, I think it's an appropriate question at this point because we're in the midst of we're getting into that, whatever's out there free agency-wise, it's probably going to be out there until after the draft because now we're getting dangerously close to the draft at this point. Next question, are you happy with the moves that the Giants made? I think, like, this is just my opinion. I want to just let you know how I feel first because then you usually react better after you hear my stupidity. Last season, Giants were the busiest team in the NFL on the offseason. They were hurt all last year. So if those guys come to camp healthy with them, plus the moves they made this year, is there any possibility they can come out of the NFC East at this point?
Well, I guess it depends on if you believe that Philadelphia and Dallas have taken a step back. And I think Washington is still recovering. Listen, I think the Giants will be fine. I think it's going to take a year for this offense to take shape. You know, they're going to have a whole year of Odell Beckham, you know, as long as he stays healthy. Victor Cruz will be coming back. You got the draft that always brings possibility. So I think the Giants will be fine. I would be really surprised if the Giants don't have a winning record and they're at minimum in a fight for the playoff seeding or of the division.
Okay, last NFL question for me. The Jets do enough to be a wild card at this point?
I'm going to tell you something a good friend of mine that I work with who is not a Jet fan told me today. If the Jets had a competent quarterback, they would be a Super Bowl contender. So take that for what it's worth. I don't necessarily buy it, but that defense is going to be very good. That I don't doubt. I don't know how they're going to be offensively. I don't know how Brandon Marshall is going to perform. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback for the Jets, and I don't know what kind of system they're going to run. And I respect this guy, and he's not a Jet fan by any stretch. He thinks that team is literally a competent quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender.
All right, and so quickly while I got here, let's switch gears to the NBA. Just want to throw 2 or 3 different questions. I'll start out west. You have the Houston Rockets in Portland tied at the third spot. They have the same winning percentage. Both teams 8.5 back. Do either of these teams have a chance to make it to the conference finals or the NBA finals? Portland and Houston.
I'm not enamored with Portland, and I just think James Harden has been such a, been one of the guys up for MVP. And I think getting Dwight Howard back will help them. So I think of those two, I think Houston has the best shot. That's not saying that I think they're going to get there, but I think out of those two, they have the better shot.
Okay, and then adding with that, San Antonio sits in the 7th spot, but they're a game out of the 5th spot. Did injuries and, I guess, lack of desire hurt San Antonio this year? The game plan they had last year didn't really work as far as, you know, last year they were just so hungry and they had revenge on their mind against Miami so much. They wanted to win the championship, and this year it just seems like they were on autopilot. You know, the Dallas Clippers and the Mavericks are all right there fighting for that fifth spot to see who's going to play either Houston or Portland in the first round. I'll be honest with you, Jose, you never hear me say anything nice about Mark Cuban. Dallas, ever since Amari Stoudemire called out the team, they've won after the terrible loss against Cleveland. They've won 5 of 6. They're playing a lot better. Are there any of these teams that will throw OKC if they can make it in with Durant, you know, with Durant and Ibaka come back? Are any of these teams a championship contender, or are we just going to talk about Golden State or Memphis for the
San Antonio has the pedigree, so no matter what they do in the regular season, they always have a legitimate shot. I don't believe in Dallas. I don't believe in Houston. I don't really believe, like I said, I'm not up front of Houston. I don't believe in the Clippers. Memphis, they have the toughness and the grit. The thing with Golden State, and I told this to you before, Golden State could easily run roughshod through the Western Conference Final, but I can also see them get eliminated in the first round. Because they're going to get a hard team, either way you slice it. If, you know, OKC is that a spot, you know, is that the team you want to play? Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook are healthy? That's a rough first-round matchup. So,
I agree with you. I agree with you with that, but I don't think Golden State, and I've been yelled at by a couple of different people, when I say Golden State doesn't have the interior defense and the interior offense, they're a jump-shooting team. And that's why I think Memphis to be the representative of the West, because they're so good inside, and they also have the perimeter game this year with Jeff Green and Vince Carter coming off the bench. They have some nice pieces on that squad.
Let me see. But listen, Mary, unfortunately, I have to get going. I'm out of the foot, unfortunately. But listen, hopefully we can do this again soon. I hate to cut it short, but I have to step away for a few. But, you know, hey, call me next time. We'll try to get this done a little longer next time.
No problem. We got Ray Lucas coming up now, so I just wanted to get your opinion. So, all right, buddy.
Cool. Well, Ray, say hello, man.
You got it, brother.
Be good.
All right, you too. All right, special interview time here on Real Sports Talk Radio. Ray Lucas, former Jet, former Rutgers quarterback, does work with 1050 ESPN Radio. It does work with 98.7 FM New York with Jets coverage with Don LaGreca, and he works with Chris Carlin for Rutgers games. Check him out. He's on Twitter promoting his new book. Ray Lucas was one of the nicest guys I've talked to. Enjoy the interview. It's a good 20 minutes, and then we'll be back to wrap everything up. You're listening to Real Sports Talk Radio on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. Don't forget to check us out at backsportspage.com. Hey, listen, if you want to talk to me on Twitter, by the way, my handle is RandyBSP. Feel free to give me a shout. My email is down right now, but it'll be back up soon, so you can definitely shoot me some snail mail at RandyBackSportsPage.com. Right now, here's my interview with Ray Lucas, discovering the book, and Ray...
I got the book. I read the book. It was awesome. Can you talk about the process of writing the book and why you wanted to get your story out in this form?
The process was very interesting, you know, when you're writing the book. I've never even thought about writing a book. So it was about 3 times a week for about 4 hours each time that we would talk. You know, I thought we had enough information for 4 books, to be honest with you. But they did a real good job of, you know, cutting it down and making it my voice. The reason why I wanted to tell my story, because I think there's something for everybody in there. You know, there's the story of addiction, there's the story of suicide, there's the story of, you know, my wife who, you know, 99% of the guys go through what I went through, their wives and kids leave them, and she stuck by me. So, and there's, you know, the other part of it is when you come out of the other side of addiction, you know, you give people hope. And, you know, I always thought for when I was going through my stuff that I was the only one out there, you know, like me. And I found out that that's definitely not the case. So, you know, the reason also for writing the book was to give people and let them know that they can come out on the other side, you know?
Do you think that that is sort of the... So sort of the way that the professional sports industry, just not football, but just in general professional sports, there's that, you know, I don't want to say entitlement, but there's that different type of lifestyle than a regular working environment, you know, because...
Again, you got to understand, like, you know, all my strengths that got me to the top of the mountain and get me to the NFL, you know, I could do anything. I could play through pain, you know, no surrender, you know, willing to sacrifice all for the good. You know, you got to have a little something, I think, wrong with you to make it that far. But then again, when I was going through what I was going through, all my strengths became my weaknesses.
Right.
And, you know, when I was sick, you know, to ask for help, I mean, that's a sign of weakness. You know, and, you know, when you're going through addiction, you think you're fooling everybody, you know, except yourself. In actuality, the only one you're fooling is yourself. So, you know, it's a little different, you know, to get to the top of the mountain, but, you know, when your strengths become your weaknesses, that's when it gets really bad.
Was it painful for you to sort of recount some of those situations that you put yourself in?
You know what? Yeah, I mean, the whole suicide thing and that kind of stuff, I can't believe I was actually considering that, you know, to go to the GW and drive off the bridge. You know, but again, when you're suffering through depression and anxiety and all this other stuff, you know, the easy way out is always the road less, you know, traveled. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a little crazy now. It opened up some other wounds and it brings back some bad memories. But, you know, again, you know, my life is something of success, you know, not because I made it to the NFL. That was just a little part of my life. The success part is coming out on the other side and being, you know, clean and sober and all that good stuff.
You know, with a lot of the last 2 years, there's been a lot of problems off the field in the NFL. You know, the situation in Kansas City a couple seasons back, where the player shot himself in the parking lot. And then you have, of course, Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson. Do you think that, you know, that they should have more sort of like counselors involved with the teams that can help them? Because, you know, at the end of the day, professional athletes are human beings too, but they're sort of looked upon to be just more than that. Do you think they should have more help inside?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, you never heard about domestic violence until you saw the video. But there was a lot of domestic violence stuff going on before that, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'll take it a step further. I think there should be more counseling for when guys leave the NFL. Because, you know, you go from being that guy that everybody wants to know and shake your hand to a guy that you would pass on the street and not know who that guy was. And, you know, the exit strategy for the NFL is here's a garbage bag, throw your shit in it, and then have a nice day. You know, where's the guy that tells you, here's five guys you can call that, you know, you could probably get a job from? Or, you know, the transition from playing football for your whole entire life to not playing it, here's somebody to call if you get depressed. You know, and the exit strategy for me, I think there needs more attention to it. And of course, everything else. I mean, I'm not slighting domestic violence. I'm not slighting, you know, the CTE stuff. But again, you know, there should be some kind of exit strategy for guys in the NFL.
It's almost like sort of like a detox of when you're leaving the game to adjusting back to real life. You have to sort of just have that little time to just get adjusted to it. And it's hard.
Well, you got to understand, too, it's something we were doing for our entire lives.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've been playing a sport that, you know, was a job, you know, and the only thing I really wish I would have done was it kind of, you know, in a way, how I, you know, enjoyed it a little more while I was doing it, you know what I mean? Like, I think it really passed me by before I had the chance to say, wow, look where I am, you know, I'm not a Peyton Manning or I'm not a Tom Brady, but I'm one of the best athletes in the world right now for 8 years. And, you know, because you're in it and because you love it so much, you know, you don't really sit back and say, wow, you know, this is awesome. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's that too as well.
Well, talk about that aspect of it, you know, from when you were playing. You know, you were quarterbacking. You were the guy who was running the show. Can you talk about the experience of having that responsibility on your shoulders?
Well, again, like, you know, it isn't a responsibility, but when you have great guys around you, you know, I had Curtis Martin standing behind me and Richie Anderson, and my offensive line was, Ken Mawai and Jumbo Elliott and Soupy Mala Mala. You know, I had Freddie Baxter as my tight end and Corbett and Keyshawn. My job was easy. I mean, I had to know where everybody was and know what everybody was doing. But when you have great guys around you, you know, that pressure is lessened. And, you know, like they said when I first got in when I was very young and, you know, haven't played quarterback in 3 years since I got to the NFL was, don't worry about it. We got you. And, you know, Parcells and Dan Henning and Charlie Weiss always put me in a position to be successful. They never asked me to do something that I was not comfortable doing. And that's important, too. You know, if you're going to have success in the NFL, you're going to have the right coaches around you to make you, you know, to get you to where you need to be. So, I mean, with Parcells in my corner, you know, next to my dad, he's probably the greatest man I've ever met. So, you know, I had a lot of good guys around me.
I was just about to ask you, what was it like working with Bill Parcells? What advice did he, you know, what was the best advice he gave you? And what's your relationship with him today?
Well, I mean, what guy in the NFL had played special teams for 3 years before becoming a starting quarterback in the NFL? And I would have to say not one person in NFL history has started out on special teams and was a wide receiver and then played quarterback. Mainly because of Parcells, because he believed in me, and he had a funny way of making you believe in yourself. And, you know, yes, he was a master of X's and O's, but he was also a master manipulator, you know, of the mind. And, you know, if he said, Ray, run through that wall, I would say, how high do you want me to hit it? You know, it's going to come down. So, you know, playing for him and being a Jersey boy and him being a Jersey boy, we had kind of like a little kinship. It took me a while to become a Parcells guy. But, you know, once you're a Parcells guy, you're always a Parcells guy. So, you know, I talk to him at least once, twice a month, just, you know, say hello and you know, tell him what's going on. Or he calls me. He's always still worried about me and stuff. He just kind of found out about what I was going through and was kind of mad that I didn't call him. And I can't really tell you, you know, how he said it, but it wasn't. It was a Jersey exchange. I'll just put it to you that way.
Yeah, it was more of, it wasn't like his on-air interviews, it was more of the coach, you know.
What the fuck are you doing? You fucking didn't call me, you fucking jerk. You're supposed to call me. I'm fucking here for you. That kind of conversation.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, being a Jersey guy and you got to play for the Jets. Can you talk about the experience of playing in the Meadowlands as a professional?
Man. It was unbelievable. You know, my exit is 15W where I grew up in Harrison, and, you know how close the stadium is, so the problem I had was, where am I getting all these damn tickets from? You know, you get like 4 tickets for a home game. I had 36 people that wanted to go to the damn game, so, you know, I had to beg all my teammates that were from out of town, give me your tickets, give me that. Then I had a, you know, my guy Bushy, John Bushorn, who was holding the tickets, I had to get some from him, you know. So it was a little crazy, but again, I think that's when I wish I would have realized how good it really was, you know, like to have all my family and friends there every weekend and watching me play, and we had success, and, you know, it was life, man. It was awesome at that point. So I do wish I would have, you know, enjoyed it a little bit more.
How long until after everything sort of came down for you did it take you to fully recover and then say, you know what, I still have a lot to offer even though I'm not playing anymore?
Well, I would say, you know, once you get out of rehab for 42 days and, you know, you're sitting there and you know that, you know, you have no money in the bank. You basically bankrupt your family because you were taking all the friggin' pills, and you get clean and you get your priorities in order. You know, I'm to the point where I just want to be a great father and a great husband, and then everything else after that comes second, where I didn't think I had my priorities straight. And then once you get healthy, you know, going to the gym all the time and doing all this good, great stuff, you know, I was like, wow, you know, I could still be the provider that I'm supposed to be. And that's important, you know, to be a man. And, you know, after going through everything I went through, to still have the chance to be that guy that my daughters look up to and my wife says, oh, that's my man. You know what I mean? She's proud to say it. Where before, I don't think they were even thinking about saying, you know, that's my dad or that's my husband, because I was in such shambles. So, you know, it's a good feeling. You know, I work 7 days a week. I had no problem with it. You know, I told my wife I'm going to give her 10 years, you know, doing what I'm doing. And I'm in good places. You know, I'm doing a lot of TV. I do the Rutgers games, the Big Ten show. You know, I'm working downtown New York City for a guy who is my friend first, and then is my boss second, you know, that I had worked for him before. And I got great people. people around me, even at work. So, you know, it's a good time in my life right now. You know, I'm trying to catch up. You know, it's hard to get back when you lose everything. You know, lose the house, lose the job, lose the money in the bank. So it's a day by day process.
How much do you enjoy working, doing stuff with the New York Jets and doing stuff with ESPN New York?
Well, you know, I love it. I mean, anytime you get to talk about football, it's a good day. You know, I think that actually helped me stay sane, even though I was going through my stuff, that, you know, I was allowed to talk about the game. You know, you miss it so much when you get out of it that, you know, it could drive you crazy. But the fact that I get to talk about it on a weekly basis, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, it really helps out my psyche.
Talk about the difference between, you know, you said you're doing stuff down at Rutgers and doing stuff with the NFL. Can you talk about the different styles of games that colleges to pro? Because a lot of people don't understand that.
Well, for me, it was different. I was in the age before, like, you know, running the football and being athletic at the quarterback position was sexy. You know, when I came out, it was more Troy Aikman, Dan Marino, all drop back pocket passers. You know, nowadays, you know, every team is looking for that mobile guy that can make plays out of the pocket. So, for me at Rutgers, it was more or less, you know, if the play wasn't there, I was to take off and run and create stuff out of the pocket. Whereas when I got to the NFL, it was more of, you know, you got to be a pocket passer. You know, the Drew Bledsoes, you know, he was my quarterback when I was playing wide receiver in my rookie year. And then it kind of changed. The evolution of the quarterback changed in the NFL, and the more athletic you are now, I think the more, you know, you're looked upon as being, you know, somebody that can make things happen. And before, you know, if you weren't a pocket passer, they were like, you know, what the hell is this kid doing running around? We don't play that kind of football. So I think the game has evolved, you know, in a big way, especially at the quarterback position. And, you know, I think it's always going to be changed. You never know. You know, you got guys that run out of the pocket, but then they don't play full seasons because they're not built to get smashed by a, you know, 400-pound dude. That's part of the problem.
Are you surprised with the pace of the NFL game and how much more safety is involved with the NFL compared to where it was maybe about 10 years ago?
I mean, for me, the game was, I mean, I can't really explain how fast the game is when I played, and that was almost 10 years ago. The guys are bigger, the guys are faster now. So this is like, this game is, when I watch it, I'm in awe of how much faster it was. I didn't think it could get any faster, but it is extremely fast, it is extremely violent. And, you know, I think that's the way that this game is going to keep evolving. You know, the guys are getting bigger, the guys are getting, you know, when I played 400-pound lineman, he got cut because he was fat. You know, now he's a you know, a necessity to have. You know, you want that 380-pound guy on your offensive line that's athletic enough to move around. So, you know, I think the game's always going to be evolving, and I think, you know, these guys are going to continue to get bigger, and the game's going to get faster.
Switching over to being in the media world now, what has been the best advice someone has given to you, and also how have you liked the transition to from, you know, doing radio and television, what you're going through now?
Well, you know what? It's no different than me playing football. Like, I want to be the best at what I do. I want to be considered one of the top guys in New York City, and I want to be the top guys in the country because, you know, I love what I do, you know, and I do what I love, and that's important to me. So, you know, early on, you know, you get told, you know, don't use 10 words, but use 5. And again, like, I have no problem by anybody criticizing me, you know, in anything I do, even working downtown in New York City. If there's a way for me to get it done better, I want to know about it so I can, you know, hone my craft. So I do take it, you know, very personally to be on my, you know, A game on at all times. And it is a little different because there's not that much pressure on you as it is when you play in the NFL because, you know, you're a play away from being watching it on TV on Sunday. So, you know, it's still a craft. It's still something that I love to do. It's still something I want to be really good at. So, you know, I have enough guys around me that know that I'm not that guy where you can't talk to me or you can't tell me, well, you screwed this shit up, so you need to work on this shit a little bit more. I'll do all that stuff, you know. And, you know, the difference is I don't have a 400-pound dude chasing me on the set when I'm in a suit and tie. That's probably the only difference.
You being a Jersey guy, You ever give recommendations for bagels or pizza to either former teammates or people who you still talk to today?
You know what? Being from Jersey is something that, you know, everybody knows. It's not something that I don't say on a regular basis, you know, where I'm from. I do tell people that this ain't the Jersey Shore, all right? That ain't Jersey. I just want everybody to, you know, realize the Jersey Shore is not freaking New Jersey, period. You know, we're not there fist pumping and all that stuff. That's just, you know, some guys from Long Island or wherever they're from that come in and do stuff in Jersey. So that's, you know, a big point. Like, they're like, hey, you're the Jersey Shore. I'm like, I'll punch you right in your face. That's not Jersey. So, you know, I'm proud to be from Jersey. You know, we're a little different in Jersey, maybe a little tougher, but we stick together. And, you know, again, it's a great place to grow up. And, you know, again, when I talk about Jersey, I talk about Rutgers. You know, it's another thing that, you know, Jersey kids need to stay home. Why go make, you know, another state great? So, yeah, from Jersey, you know, it was the first words out of my mouth when they say, where are you? I don't even let them finish. I'm Jersey. So they know it right from the start.
You know, with your kids, you know, being a father, you ever show them any of your, you know, your like old memorabilia, like the first time you saw them, saw your face like on a football card or stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I had three daughters, so, you know, they know all about their daddy. And, you know, there's times where they'll come home and I have one of my old games on the thing and they're like, wow, I can't believe it. But, you know, again, the football part of my life was just a little part. You know, there's many parts to me and who I am and what I do now. And, you know, it's cool that they get to see their daddy on TV and they talk about football. They say I'm crazy and that my grades are too low all the time when I grade and stuff. So they jump on me a little bit, my girls. And, you know, my wife gets a kick out of it.
So what are some of your hobbies you like to do when you're not working?
Well, I'm not working, which is every day, all day, sleep, to be honest with you.
Okay.
My wife doesn't let me, she doesn't like me to sleep that much, but I love getting me some sleep. You know, I go to the gym every single day that I possibly can, and that's it, man. I'm working to be a better father and a better husband. That's my, you know, my job after work is over with. That's my job before work starts. So, you know, my life is very simple right now, and it's working for me.
Okay. And I was gonna ask the next question if there's any television shows or anything that you like to watch when you're not watching football, but it seems like there's a lot of it's football.
No, that's it. I don't mess around with anything else.
Okay. Have you ever considered doing like a your own type of podcast? Some athletes or some professional athletes, former.
You know, I mean, I'm pretty busy.
Okay.
I love, you know, what I do. Like I said, I get to do the Rutgers games. I get to do ESPN radio. I get to do the Jets stuff on TV. So it's all good. It's everything that's, you know, right where it is. I do a Big Ten show, which is new this year for me, which I love doing. You know, it's a little difficult talking about 14 teams, but I'm getting the hang of it.
Cool. And, you know, I know you know Donnie Pucks, our good buddy Donnie. Don's been doing this for so long. What kind of advice has he given you? I can ask that question because he's a friend of mine.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the same stuff. You know, take your craft very seriously. Don't you know, just think because you're there that it's good enough. And it's the same thing in the NFL. There's always somebody younger, cheaper, and eager. So, you know, you got to make sure you're doing your thing and you're doing it the right way.
All right, that was Ray Lucas and myself. Great interview. I really enjoyed it with him. I got to talk about his book. If you have the opportunity, go check out his book right now in the stores. It was a great read. I promise you'll like it. Listen, we're out of here. Real Sports Talk Radio will be back next Thursday night, exclusively here on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. I have a whole cast of characters and another really, really good guest. Check back at the Real Sports Talk Radio Facebook page and at backsportspage.com for the find out who the guest is. I promise you, it'll be very, very good. I want to thank everybody, as always, backsportspage.com, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, our good friends over at the Microtext. Don't forget, also 1-800-Flowers.com, Back Sports as your promotional code. Sorry about that. And then you will be able to get a nice little discount on some flowers for take care of your loved one, your wife, your mistress, anybody you need. We have it there. Under Pressure, How Playing Football Almost Cost Me Everything and Why I Do It All Over Again, the Ray Lucas book. Check it out. I promise you'll like it. It's called Under Pressure, How Playing Football Almost Cost Me Everything and Why I Do It All Again. So check out the book. I promise it's worth the read. Until then, boys and girls, children of all ages, we'll see you all next week.